My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That was as embarrassing and as ugly as it can possibly get to start your season, 100th anniversary season, no less, at home against an average team at best with a backup quarterback. That's the effort that you give? Woof, BT. I mean, I don't know if you could have drawn up a worse start for the New York Giants.
You mean LT and Eli and Coughlin, they didn't like what they saw?
I mean,
God almighty, that was disgraceful by the New York Giants yesterday. That was repulsive. Like, in the sporting sense, that was just straight up repulsive. And the fans were booing 2 minutes into the game, which tells you they went in there predisposed to get all over that quarterback, who nobody believes in, at least in terms of the fan base. And I guess the front office maybe has to at least pretend that they still believe in him a little bit, because they gave him that foolish extension. But it wasn't just Daniel Jones. Listen, the Giants don't look very talented, all right, and in terms of the one game. And we knew that the third level, we talked about this on Friday, would be a big issue.
Yeah.
But they at least do have some other assets around the field. I don't think that they're talentless, although they didn't look talented yesterday. But what I think to me is most disconcerting is they didn't look prepared. They didn't look ready to play football. Now, again, we can micro, you know, where was Kayvon Thibodeau? Where was Burns? Yeah. Jones, the O-line, third-level mistakes, you know, questionable play call. And then can you take some shots down the field, which they really did not. They did not look prepared to play football.
Well, I think that that's a theme of the NFL, and we'll get more into that later around the league. But you had the delay of game, the 12 men in the huddle, the false start, sloppy, unacceptable mess. I don't care if you didn't practice or not, or play in the preseason or not. That cannot happen. And I guess to me that's the most discouraging thing and most frustrating thing about this. Like, we'll get to the defense and break that down and the invisibility of Kayvon Thibodeau. He's amazing out there. He just disappears. You can't even see him sometimes. But we'll get to Kayvon Thibodeau and Burns and the defense overall. To me, the most disappointing thing is the fact that we, at the very least, even if you don't have high hopes for the Giants, can they throw the damn football down the field? I mean, they drafted Malik Nabers. Everybody tell me, oh, Nabers is great. Oh, the offensive line is so much better. Oh, yeah, Jalen Hyatt's going to be moved to number two, another draft pick by them. What? Can you move the football? I mean, that is as embarrassing and pathetic as an offense. Dable takes over play calling, and it looks even worse than what it did before. It's just unacceptable on every level possible. They did not look like, you know, all the other teams around the league, you could say they're sloppy play in general. Sam Darnold didn't miss. He is a backup quarterback who we saw up close and in person for years with the Jets. You want to say he's better? Fine. He's not Joe Montana. Sam Darnold comes in here, he's hitting every completion, so why can't the Giants throw the damn football down the field? Period. End of story. Like, scoring a touchdown should not be that hard.
Yeah, especially you get a turnover. And I remember saying, I'm sitting on the couch, I said to my son, if they don't get a touchdown here...
Yeah, it's over.
It's just... It's going now. Again, so a fairly fatalistic approach that early in the game, but you just get us a certain teams need they need to pop early. Certain players, Daniel Jones needs to feel some adulation early, and I didn't know if they'd score, but when they didn't score, I'm saying that is a really ominous sign. And bottom line is this: the New York Giants, since the 6-1 start back in 2022, they are 9-18-1 since, okay? So I know that Wink Martindale was a big problem yesterday. Well, Wink's gone. And yesterday, you know, Sam Darnold looked like a phenomenal football player. Now, I think he's a lot better than you do. Yeah. We talked about that as well. I've always thought, listen, byproduct of what's around you, whether it's scheme, whether it's O-line, whether it's weapons. Not that Sam Darnold's terrific, but I think he's more viable than you.
And by the way, the Giants get at him as their starter, no? I mean, the Vikings do.
Yeah, he would. Yes, yes.
I mean, he was significantly better than Daniel Jones.
But here's the scary thing, because you just said, can you throw the football down the field? This is why the Giants have massive problems, because it's not one thing. And this is the reason why the Giants were picked to win 5-6 games in most betting circles. Not that they're always right, but they're obviously leaning on a ton of information where they base that win projection. They didn't throw the ball down the field, and we could, quite frankly, Sal, do the next hour on that. But then, conversely, they couldn't stop the opposing quarterback either. So you're not getting downfield. And if that game was a little tighter, meaning they didn't just have to bleed out the clock, Sam Darnold would have gone for 350.
Yeah.
Like, he would have.
But sometimes the Giants, this defense lets him do that. That's what Bowens does, and he'll be good in the red zone. I'm not going to go. Now, look, the pass rush has to be there. If the Giants can't get to the quarterback, they're screwed. Like, there's just no way. We know the secondary is limited, although I like Phillips as a player, and I do love Deontay Banks. Again, individual talent, so they got to get better as a team. But if they can't get to the quarterback with Kayvon Thibodeau and Burns, they're dead. End of story, period. But Brian Daboll, see, to me, the reason why I thought the Giants were going to be a team that could be competitive, like we saw a couple years ago, is because of the coaching. I thought the coaching staff would be better this year. Addition by subtraction with Wink, and I know the schemes and all that stuff, but just Daboll being, you know, maybe learning from last year, and also improving on what he did a couple years ago, having more talent here than he's had before, just be competitive. And Daboll, yesterday, like, the team was not coached well.
No.
That's a major problem. So we know where the limitations are talent-wise. I don't know what anybody expected of Daniel Jones, but, I mean, my God, was he even worse than we could imagine. But the coaching was not where it needed to be yesterday for the New York Giants.
Sal, you look at the Dallas Cowboys going into Cleveland against a good Cleveland defense, okay? And Dallas, they absolutely punked them. I mean, Dallas is going to win 12 games, whatever it's going to be, 11 or 13 in the neighborhood. I know Philly wasn't perfect Friday night, right? I know Saquon, oh my God, the three touchdowns. But Jalen Hurts was good, but he also made some mistakes. But you just know that you just watched a quarter of the Cowboys. They're miles better than the Giants. You watch a quarter of the Eagles, miles better. And when they play head-to-head, the results back up that assertion, not to mention the optics of the start to the season. Where are the Giants going? I mean, honestly, I don't know what people expect. I get it. Like, there's losing a game where you look functional, and then there's getting your teeth kicked in where you look disheveled and disjointed and uninspired. And that it's the latter. And that's what's going to create the stir and the emotion that Giant fans feel today. But what'd you expect?
I was ready for the NFL and watch NFL football. And what the New York Giants put on film yesterday and put out there for all of us to see was not NFL football. It's simple as that.
Nope.
And even afterward, Dable's like, oh, yeah, we'll be fine. I'd be, what? Dude, I'd be livid at my team for that mess, that embarrassing slop that you put out there to start the season at home against the Vikings. Unacceptable. And we'll get to Daniel Jones, and we'll get to what it means moving forward. We'll do all that. We got plenty of time here as we go to 2 o'clock. Let's get to your calls right now. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Steven is in Brooklyn. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys. What a disappointing game. Real quickly, you guys are exactly right. Brian Daboll did not have this team prepared. seven. We're waiting months for this first game. They were not prepared. And here's the biggest thing is, very simple. Minnesota rushed four, dropped back everybody in coverage. So when you want to say, take shots down the field, Daniel Jones was checked down Charlie. There was no plays out there. So how about...
And he can't even do that right. He can't even check it down right. For goodness sake, it's infuriating.
How about running the ball, make adjustments, play action, you know, things like that. Establish the run. They threw the ball 42 times. They ran the ball 14 times. They never established that from the beginning. So he better maybe give the play calling back to Kafka or figure something out. But it's going to be a long season, I'll tell you right now.
It's going to be a long season, agreed. But it's going to be longer if you actually thought the Giants were going to be really good this year or really competitive, which I did not. I mean, there's a reason why, and I know that it seems insane, and you and I really, I know sometimes we get a little nuts, but to our credit, we did try to navigate this in a conservative manner. Like, when we talked about Friday, if you don't win this game, I mean, it's basically must win, and again, that seems crazy. First game of 17, but you had to win this game. And at the very least, you had to at least show up and play a competitive brand of football. They looked like they weren't even interested.
Well, that's the key to me. Winning the game, obviously, is of the most importance. And we said that they had to win the game, all those reasons that you said there. But even if they lost the game and showed signs of encouragement,
yep,
you'd be like, you know what? Sucks that they lost. They should have won the game. But at least they looked like an NFL football team. All they do is they barely even take field goals. It's pathetic. And you want to talk about Dable just took over the play calling. Like, the next step is you're out. You can't. This is such a mess. Honestly, it's such a mess. And there's so many layers to it that we're not even getting to it all in the first 12 minutes of the show.
You can't. There was so much.
But we're going to do it. Like, when we, you know, we'll take the calls here. When we come back, I'm going to get more into the depth of Dable and Daniel Jones. But it's so bad on so many levels. That performance, oh my God, that was worse, BT, than a year ago where they got washed on Sunday night. The difference is because at least then you could expect it to a certain extent,
yeah,
being that it's Dallas. In this particular case, it's a new year for the Giants. They should be better because they're more talented. They actually have, at least on paper, some weapons at wide receiver, specifically Neighbors. The defense should be still okay. Jones is healthy. Dable calling plays like, and you're playing the Vikings, not the Cowboys. And you still get washed.
Mm-hmm.
Can't even move the football. It's freaking embarrassing. Tyler is in Trumbull, Connecticut. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's up, boys? Only word to say is disgusting. It's September 9th, and I cannot wait for the New York Knicks to play basketball. What world are we living in where we're begging for New York Knicks basketball? How bad do you have to be as a New York Giant fan to beg for New York Knicks basketball? I told the wife, strawberry picking, apple picking, it doesn't matter. Next Sunday is yours.
Whoa, Tyler, hold on. The apple picking, the cherry pick. No, they're not there already.
Don't do that yet.
Already?
Come on, man.
I mean,
watch the red zone. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, you know, that's a rookie move. I mean, you got to do that, you know, pre-Labor Day. I understand that it's going to be pretty bleak, I think, for the Giants, but you're already tapping out and setting up the apple picking dates. I'd rather watch, you know, the Panthers get smoked by the Saints by 40 than go apple picking on a football Sunday.
There is an extreme overreaction. I get it. It's frustrating. Let's just focus for now on what happened yesterday before you start worrying about what's going to happen week two and beyond. Yesterday was unacceptable. And Dable, maybe to trying to show some of that new personality and not fire, not have that fire, was afterwards like, oh, we got to clean some stuff. Clean some stuff up, bro. Did you watch that? Clean some stuff up. That is as bad as it gets. Your team was pathetic. That was pathetic on many, many different layers of the football game. It's almost like he was just resigned and saying, hey, basically this is preseason. We didn't play in the preseason. This is week one. This is what it is in the NFL now, which I think there is some truth to that, but you still can't get embarrassed like that by Minnesota.
I got to tell you, you just hit on something interesting here because, and we spoke about this great detail on Friday, obviously during snippets of the show, you listen to BT and Sal. Once training camp started, I was saying this, not everybody agreed. I don't think that Dable's job status is as sturdy as many people seem to believe. I'm not going to, you know, tell you why again because it's going to take forever. But the bottom line is this. What he can't do is suppress his energy, because that's part of what makes him an interesting.
Right, but you're also saying, you said last week, well, he's got to tone it down.
He's got to direct it properly. He's got to channel it properly. You could still get on your team, but if we suddenly start seeing passive, at least public. He's not doing this in the locker room.
Right?
I know he's not doing this in the locker room, and I know it's driving him. The first series, you can see, was turning bright red. But I think that if he's too cognizant of, I don't want to say appeasing people, but changing the narrative of him being too much of a loose wire, then it's over. Because that's part of who he is. He's just got to refine it. The wink stuff wasn't a great look. The stuff with Kafka, some other coaches. But he can't become vanilla Dable. That ain't going to work either.
We got to clean some stuff up. And he said it in such a, like you said, vanilla way. That's not Dable. And that's not the tone to have after yesterday's embarrassment. Mark is calling from Clark, New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Guys, good morning. Long time no talk.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, what's up? So, BC, I agree with you. I mean, with the Giants, I didn't go into this season expecting perfection, but I did expect competitiveness. And yesterday, I'm not going to curse here. This team effing sucks. Everything about this game sucked. Daniel Jones is not getting the ball down the field. Like Sal said, you have a brand new receiver in Malik Nabers. At least try to throw the ball up to him and let him make a play. Just at least try that. I mean, you're throwing 14 runs, and then all that passing for not. Stupid interceptions.
This is an important point here. I know it's easy, and it's with merit, to bag on Dable here. They didn't look prepared. But the one thing that he did say, and he didn't really crush Jones, but I thought the implication was there if you really listen for it. He was asked, why didn't you take some shots down the field? He said, we did. He basically said, we did, and without saying, my quarterback didn't chuck it down the field.
Right.
So to be fair to Dable, I think they had some deep shots called. Jones just didn't let it fly.
Okay. We'll get to what this means for the Giants moving forward and where we're at, right? Because we felt differently going into the year. You're saying the same thing. I'm going to give you my thoughts on it, where maybe it's not that bad when we come back.
Okay.
But I need to say this.
Not that bad.
I need to say this.
I got to hear this.
Yeah, and I need to say this first, though, about Daniel Jones. I can't do it anymore. I've been begging. I've been screaming before UBT on the overnight for years. I can't do it anymore. I cannot sit there and tell my wife and daughter I am not going to spend the Sunday with them because Daddy needs to watch football for work. And ignore all the other games that are going around the league because I usually like that for entertainment purposes, but my job is the Giants, and this is what I care about. Giants and Jets, that's where I truly care about. That's the storylines that I'm invested in. I can't do it anymore. Where you sit there at 1 o'clock, you throw in the game, and watch Daniel Jones attempt to play quarterback. I can't do it anymore. It's year 6. It is year 6. Enough. This is why I hated the pick of Nabers. It's not Nabers. They need a quarterback. How many weeks and years do we got to watch Daniel Jones? I'm begging, but I can't do it anymore. Daniel Jones, how could you be worse than that? You got significantly outplayed by Sam Darnold. I can't watch him anymore, BT. I'm sorry. I said this before the year. I said it all offseason. This is why I knew it was going to be a problem. I can't watch him attempt to play quarterback. It's impossible to watch. Impossible.
Tommy.
I'm not even saying I would do that. I
know.
Like, this is shame. Man. You talked about it on Friday, saying that I forget if you said hot seat specifically, but like these two guys may be a little bit more on.
Yeah, I don't think that their future's as solid as most people do.
My biggest issue.
And I like
with them
both, to be fair, but yeah.
My biggest issue with them is that they chose Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm. I know. Gettleman chose him first. They elected to retain him, and so they, in essence, chose him as well.
And they did it like when Joe Douglas mistakenly chooses Zach Wilson over Sam Darnold, or just Zach Wilson. There's like there wasn't at least enough for him to see. Now he made a mistake, but he didn't see Zach Wilson play for 3 years in the NFL before. Shane and Dable did see Daniel Jones play. And they still made that decision to keep him.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Taking your calls on the Giants. We'll get to the Jets as well throughout the course of the show. Now, I know this sounds crazy today, and obviously I was as angry and frustrated as anybody yesterday watching that slop by the Giants and the result, the whole thing. But it is just 1 week, and it is just 1 week in an NFL where the majority of teams were sloppy to begin. As we talked about going into the season, this is the way that it is now. The first few weeks of the season is essentially a preseason before teams find their footing. I don't think the Giants are going to make the postseason. I never said that. We said that, you know, max out, maybe 9-10. But I
didn't think that.
I still think, well, we said, well, you're right. You asked me what I thought the absolute ceiling was, and I said 10.
I think you said 9, 10
absolute ceiling for this team. But I also think, you know, if we go just based on their over-under number coming in, which is 6.5, I did bet that. And I do believe it's still going over. Like, I'm not ready to, even though we said if they lose this game to the Vikings, the Giants will not be as bad as they were yesterday, which was as bad as you can possibly be. They won't be that bad the rest of the way. Now, there may be some ugly games against teams that are better than them.
Yep.
But and there's a reason why I'm saying it. And it's the only reason why you could possibly say it. Well, I mean, there is some individual talent that I like. And I don't think the defense is as bad as it may have seemed yesterday. I think the defense will be fine. I believe in Brian Daboll as a head coach. Now, yesterday was certainly not a game that you would say that you believe in him as a head coach because it was all on him. It was god-awful every step of the way. But ultimately, if I believe in Dable, and I do, based on what I've seen from him here as a head coach, I think the Giants will show more competitiveness and be in these games moving forward, be a little bit closer. What does that mean record-wise? I don't know, but I'm still not giving up on the over 6.5 just because yesterday was as bad as it possibly could be.
What if they lose to the Commanders?
Well, I mean, it depends on how, no?
Well, in terms of the 6.5. I mean, if you're 0-2 going into the rest of the schedule, now, right. I mean, we said the Vikings game, kind of must have. All right, you don't get that? Well, better get the Commanders
and also,
game.
And also, it would be symbolic of the season. Like, there's no way. I can't sit here and defend yesterday's performance. It's unacceptable. What I can do is just say, all right, it's one game. Now, it's not just one game because it's been a couple of years here. But in Dable's first year, they got to the postseason, right? Overachieved by every step of the way.
No doubt.
Every count measurable. Last year, even in a year, remember, we had the same conversation early in the year. And we were saying, oh, well, now they're going to win 3 games or, you know, under 6.5, whatever the number was. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. And they weren't because Dable dug them out almost to a detriment because then they ended up getting the 6th pick as opposed to a top 3 pick. And we'd be having a totally different conversation, which I wish we had. But anyway, Dable got the team playing to a point of respectability. I think he'll do that. I'm not just going to go nuts with week 1. Now, if they do this again next week to Washington, maybe I change my tune a little bit. I still think, BT, I mean, look, you saw some upsets yesterday as well around the league. That's why I'm trying not to go nuts. Yesterday was awful, don't get me wrong. Awful, embarrassing, pathetic, unacceptable, cannot happen, period.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's who the Giants truly are. I think that they're somewhere in between a good team and what they were yesterday.
I know they're not a good team. That I have no problem saying. Are they going to be a wretched team? You know, I'm not going to lay it on that thick right now.
Could they beat Cleveland week 3?
I don't think that they will. I mean,
they could be 2-1 going into the Cowboy game.
They're not going to be 2-1. That would stun me.
Yeah.
Listen.
Right, because of them, less about the opponents and more about...
Yeah, right. More about their own house and less about the others, I guess. Now, I do think that the Giants, I'll meet you here. I don't know that they'll be this bad every week. They won't. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be good enough to be interesting or to placate their owner. See, the bigger issue, there's a couple of ways you judge franchise, and I know it's very early for this, and I don't want to keep harping on this, and I won't after every single game, but it's just, for me to be consistent with my preseason takes, I need to point this out. There's the results evaluation, which, obviously, right. Bottom line business,
right.
But then there's the optics, and then there's the close your eyes, what does the stadium sound like? Think about that, guys. If you're not driving, close your eyes and take yourself back to MetLife yesterday. And now put yourself in John Mara's shoes. What'd you hear?
He's got to be.
And I don't mean the cheers for Coughlin and LT and Phil and Eli ringing the bell. He's got to be beside himself. Now, the difference, the Commanders lost. They didn't look great. But guess what? Like, at least you got Jaden Daniels.
Correct.
Who put 20 points on the board and can move.
That's why I wanted the quarterback. This regime needed the quarterback. They chose Daniel Jones. By the way, the owner... He chose Daniel Jones.
Yeah, he did.
He loves Daniel Jones.
He influenced
that. He
can't
get enough of Daniel Jones. It's the excuses. The offensive line is the problem. Oh, we don't have enough weapons. Oh, we've done everything we could to screw this kid up. Wrong, wrong, wrong. He stinks. He ain't it.
Now, hold on a sec, though. Now, I'm going to push back a little.
Yeah.
He's not it. We know that. He's not it here. Let's take Sam Darnold. Because down the hall, I was screaming the same thing when I was with Tiki.
Right, yeah, but the Jets were dysfunctional mess.
So are the Giants. Nah, they've had one good year in 15 seasons.
But they did make the playoffs. Like, that did happen. They took Daniel Jones, who can't throw the football down the field,
to a
playoff game.
All right, I got you. That's true.
That is a big difference. Like,
that did happen, and I almost don't want to do this, but it matters. The schedule was soft, very soft.
Understood.
All right, okay, so... Jones is not it. Nobody's pushing back on that. And he's definitely not it here. Could he be it somewhere else? I mean, Giant fans don't want to hear this, but I actually think that he could be.
Oh,
I mean, Sam Darnold. Sal, we were talking on Friday. You were laughing at Sam Darnold. Yeah. I said, this guy's better than you. I'm not making him a star. Right. The point is you have to accentuate the fact, well, not only Justin Jefferson, but when you have a better offensive line and a better scheme and a whatever, when you're thrust into the worst situation like Darnold was
and Daniel Jones
was early.
He's a backup. Like, he's been gone from the Jets now for years, and he's still a backup.
Darnold?
Yeah.
I understand that, but he watched last year. He watched a top-flight organization go about their business with the 49ers, and then McCarthy gets hurt. He takes over the reins. How'd he look? Boom, 12 for 12.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be nice. 12 for 12. It'd be nice if one of those stud giant defensive edge rushers touched him.
And he came on play yesterday? Yeah. Did he get a tackle?
I mean,
did he get a half a tackle?
Well, when you're anticipating, at least when I was anticipating this game, I'm thinking the Giants defense is going to get to Sam Darnold and force turnovers and hit him and make him uncomfortable. Any quarterback that makes it to the NFL should be able to sit back there with a clean pocket and make the right throws. And he did do that. And maybe Darnold looked better than I thought he would yesterday, certainly. But if he were a player, then other teams would have taken him to start. Like, the league needs good quarterbacks. Sam Darnold has been a backup even after he left. So Daniel Jones, to me, he's not an NFL player. He will get cut eventually by the Giants, and he will not stick with the
NFL. When's he getting benched? I mean, what point is this? You know, again, honestly, at what point? Giant fans want to bench now. I'm going to answer my question first. I would not bench him going to the Commanders game. I would not. But I'm telling you right now, if he shows what he showed yesterday, I'm yanking him at halftime. That's it. You're not playing.
I don't think you could bench him now either, because that's their plan going into the year. Like, that plan to me was flawed. I would have never have had Daniel Jones be my starting quarterback. I wouldn't have had it year one with Shane and Daboll. I certainly wouldn't have it year three with Shane and Daboll. You can make a case for year two with them because you're coming off the playoff success.
Yep.
But there's no way he should be the starting quarterback going into this year. But that is their plan.
Doesn't mean you have to stick with
it. Yeah, you can't get away from it. Week two for what? For Drew Lock?
Why'd you sign Drew Lock? Yeah. Why'd you sign if you didn't think that?
You're going to make that decision?
But then
why was Daniel Jones the week one guy?
We saw Hard Knocks. We saw the conversation at the Senior Bowl. Like, the Giants did everything that they could to find a quarterback. If they didn't, if they really believed in Jones, number one, they wouldn't have tried to trade up. That's common sense. Mm-hmm. But they also wouldn't have brought in somebody like Drew Lock, who has more talent, no disrespect, to our guy Tommy DeVito. Like, they knew at some point the rubber was going to meet the road, and they're going to have to say, all right, yeah, we got pulled. They knew that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed Drew Lock.
I think if Daniel Jones plays like he did yesterday, if he plays like that in the first half in Washington, they got to bench him.
That's what I just said.
Pull him from the game. I'm saying, though, you can't say that. Now, you could reassess and see how Drew Lock looks after that game.
But there's
a lot that could happen. I would not bench him now. And also, like I said, I wouldn't have had him on the team.
I understand. You've been vocal about that. So yeah. But we're saying the same thing. Right. I'm saying start him against the Commanders. Right. If I see that again, you're out.
You got to try to win a game.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I'd be benching him for good, depending on how Drew Lock looks.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan.
I don't respect it, honestly. I get it. They want to see their team win. You know, it's just a rough patch. It just is what it is.
BT, that was Dexter Lawrence yesterday following the game, of course, on the Giant fans booing. I'm not going to take big issue with Dexter Lawrence because I love him. First of all, he's a terrific player. We all know that. Nobody's going to say anything otherwise. And I do think he's a good personality. However, when fans boo, you have to, and when you play like that, you have to just acknowledge that, you know what, we deserve to get booed. It's a very simple answer, and I think Dexter missed the mark on that one.
I didn't have an issue with it at all. I thought it was presented properly. I think when you use the word respect, I think if he would have said, I don't like it, but respect maybe gets some antennas up. I didn't think it was a big deal. And I think he really, so I'm more on Dexter's side with this. And the fans certainly can do whatever they want. I don't blame them. But it did seem like they were almost like they were looking to boo. And I think that it's one thing to react to what you see, which is what you do as a paying consumer. I think Giant fans, some of them, and whatever, were predisposed to go in there, and they were hunting. They were hunting anger.
See, I don't think that at all.
They booed the first series out
because the team was embarrassing.
What NFL team gets booed the first series of the season?
One who's had trouble moving the damn football for years.
It seemed early for me. I didn't have an issue with what Dex said. I really didn't.
God.
No issue at all.
Yeah, I thought he's got to respect the fact that when you play like that, you're going to get booed. Again, not making a major issue of it, but I'm more with the fans on this. You just got to take accountability. Your team deserved to get booed and then some. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Corey is in Allentown, PA. What's up, Corey?
Hey, Corey.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, what's up, Corey? Let's go.
Yeah, hi. Last year I called, actually during the offseason, I called saying that if they bring back Daniel Jones, it's going to be the same old talk about benching him and the season's going to go to waste. I was laughed off the air saying we
by who?
Need to keep Tyrod Taylor.
By who?
On the roster.
Who laughed you off the air?
I mean, if you want, I can mention names. But,
well, he asked you. Yeah,
I'm asking you a question,
who?
Please.
Okay, well, it's a Nyples.
But not us, and thank you for the call, Corey. Not us. I can't speak for other... Yeah. I asked you a simple question. Just give me the name of the host. At least we can keep it moving, because you're calling this show. So I'm assuming... I'm like, neither of us...
Yeah, I don't remember that call. Yeah.
We're saying we agree with you, Corey. So, I mean, congratulations. You were right. Daniel Jones stinks. We shouldn't see him again. It's year six now. I don't know how many more years the Giants and their owner and Shane and Dable need to watch Daniel Jones play quarterback before they realize... Maybe he's not it. Now, the reason why they're not going to get fired, BT, is because the owner loves him as well. Like, if they made this decision and the owner was like, I don't know, and they're like, no, but we really love Daniel Jones, then I could see them getting fired. This is why the whole thing's infuriating. So now we all know, we knew what's going to happen anyway, but it's obviously going to play out the fact that Daniel Jones is going to get benched at some point this year, and the Giants are going to have to find a new quarterback next year. And that kind of resets the clock on Shane and Dable with a new quarterback?
It depends how the season goes. I think that the conventional answer for some would be yes. And pragmatically, I could even wrap my mind around that and say on some level it should. But if this thing goes off the rails and it is a mess, like 5-12 and ugly, and that stadium sounds like that 5 or 6 more times, then I wouldn't put a dime on any of those guys coming back. John, I really wouldn't.
John is calling from Old Bridge. What's up, John?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, John. What's going on, buddy?
I feel bad for Brian Daboll, because I don't believe he's going to get the opportunity to draft and develop his own quarterback next year. I think that they're going to fire Joe Shane because of the moves that he's made, and I think they're going to pair Daboll with him, even though they should not. Brian Daboll can only mask bad quarterback play for so long. He is the guy who got Daniel Jones his contract. He is the guy who made Tommy DeVito look semi-comp last year when he played.
Right.
He can only do so much with the talent he has, and some of the guys that they drafted over the years, they can't even use Jalin Hyatt properly because, number one, Daniel Jones is afraid to throw the ball downfield. Number two, they don't have the offensive line to get any time to throw the ball downfield. So I really feel bad for Daboll, because I think he's a good coach. I think with a good quarterback, he could develop and mold, and the Giants could have some real success. But
yep,
with the moves that Shane has made, and the contract extension, which I don't think Daboll was in full agreement with. If you watch the Hard Knocks, he was begging for a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
He was talking about Jaden Daniels. They wanted to look for Drake May.
Yep.
And I think that's what they should have done.
Well, they should have, and they didn't. Now, I'll defend the regime this way by saying, yeah, they should have gotten a quarterback, but there's got to be, you know, that line of delineation where it goes from, all right, we're going to go forward and be aggressive, to now we're completely irresponsible. I mean, the Patriots were asking for everything. And there's no way the Commanders and the Giants were going to get down on a trade, too. That just wasn't going to happen. It'll be like the Jets and the Pats at that level. Jets and the Bills, Jets and the Dolphins, no. Giants and the Cowboys, top 5 pick, never. Giants and Eagles, no. So it's a very confusing point in Giants history right now. Complicated more by the fact that they had a colossal overachievement 2 years ago. So I don't know what to tell you, except that...
That was the problem.
Yeah,
They exceeded all expectations, which kind of forced them to believe in Jones to a certain extent and give him the contract.
And Daboll.
And then they raised the level of expectation in year two and year three. This really should still be, really, this should be the first year that we're talking about the Giants being a playoff team. But because of what happened year one, I do think it set them back.
Well, I'm going to try to quantify this with a number, because this will put into at least place my views, the broad snapshot of Daboll's security. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, based on how I think they'll play the rest of this year, I'd say it's about a five that he's back. That's just me.
Right.
However, I think Act Two, if it's not here, is going to be really good for Dable.
He's a good head coach.
I agree with you.
I think there's enough there to show that he's a... I could say confidently that I do not believe Brian Dable is the problem. However, you have to acknowledge that he's the head coach and he's an offensive head coach. And the offense has been the problem. And yesterday was unacceptable on many, many, many levels. The penalties right out of the gate, just pathetic performance by the offense. And as the head coach and the play caller, Dable has to wear that. John is calling from Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
I mean, Sal, you took the words right out of my mouth. That performance was unacceptable. And, you know, there's a difference when you're watching the game of if the game plan is there, but it's poorly executed by the players. That's something I think as a fan I can live with. But the fact that it was just a disaster all over the place, I think that's what Giants fans are more upset about, that it wasn't what we thought was the problem in just Daniel Jones. It was a culmination of everything. But, you know, from a standpoint now, from a fan, it's like, I don't want to see Daniel Jones anymore. I think you're right. Like, I'd rather see anybody else. But to your point, in the offseason, though, I'm kind of happy that they didn't reach for a quarterback. They didn't sit there, look at Malik Nabers and say, we hate Daniel Jones, so let's reach for Michael Penix, or let's give the farm away for Drake May. I'm happy they didn't do that, because I think that's a competent regime, a competent GM, head coach moving forward. And I think that their hands were tied with Daniel Jones, and having the ownership being, you know, infatuated with him for whatever reason. So at the end of the day, it's like they had to make the decisions that they made. And I think going forward, like, this is the last year we're going to see Daniel Jones. Unfortunately, we just have to buy our time until next year and just hope for the best.
Well, John, let me ask you a question. First of all, it's a very good call, right? It's a good call. Thank you for the call, John. So, Sal, now I want to go from Jones to something else that transpired big time this offseason. The Burns move, which we all lauded, right? Came out of nowhere, stud, you know, sack master, game wrecker. Yeah. But a move like that, now we'll get to the Jets later, but Hassan Reddick coming, eventually you would think, coming to play for the Jets, hopefully. It's a move that you can very easily, you know, stamp as, I get it, because the Jets are knocking on the door of a championship, theoretically, if things go their way. Okay, and Rodgers stays healthy. Again, we'll do Jets later. The Giants were a bad team last year. They paid him a lot of money, and they gave up some equity for Burns. Was the time, I'm talking about Joe Shane now, forget about Dable, was the timeline, you know, set up properly to make a move of that magnitude when the Giants aren't very good?
If they're trying to win games, then yes. And that would tell me, because you're right, you wouldn't normally do that if you don't think your team is good. I believe they believe that their team is more than capable of winning some games. They believe Daniel Jones is, and the proof is in the pudding. Like, they're the ones who signed him. So we could sit here and say, there's no way Dable and Shane believe in Daniel Jones. But yet they've had him for 3 years. Oh, they've been here for 3 years, and he's been their quarterback all 3 years going into the season. So they do believe in him. And they believe that what happened year one can maybe get expanded upon with the different...
You think they really think that? Or do they have to think that based on the mistake that they made?
Here's what I will say.
Big difference.
Here's what I will say, and I disagree with the last caller in this regard. He said he's happy they didn't, quote, reach for Penix or whatever, take McCarthy or Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that that's going to be the right move.
Yeah, it's too early to say that.
As a matter of fact, I think it's a bad mistake. They clearly needed a quarterback. Why not take a chance on a quarterback? You tell me they don't believe in him at all. So Sean Payton was able to believe in Bo Nix and maybe take him sooner than people thought and potentially turn him into a player. But Brian Dable and Joe Shane didn't see anything in those guys that they would have thought, hey, maybe trade down or trade back up to get one. There are ways to do it. You didn't have to just trade for Drake May. It wasn't all or nothing. You could have gotten another quarterback. They didn't.
Yeah, and those are two very different things. Like, giving up everything to move up to two or three, even though two wasn't plausible, right. But three with the Pats, that's one thing. I'm with you. They tried it. That was too rich for their blood, and I respect that. I think that that's the prudent right move. But, you know, maybe trying to lasso somebody else in end of round one, early round two. And then you look at now Shane. All right, Neil, colossal bust. Kayvon Thibodeau, kind of a one-trick pony. You know, good flashes, but certainly invisible yesterday and far from a perfect player. Watch the tape. So, Joe Shane,
Yeah, no, well, I wanted to ask you that when we come back. I know we'll get into the Jets as well. We're going to continue with your Giant calls here. But a couple of things. Number one, what's more likely to stay the same from yesterday's performance throughout? And then two, who's more likely to blame for this Giants mess where we're at right now?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.